Hello, and welcome to Mega City Book Club, the podcast all about the galaxy's greatest comic, 2000 AD. I'm Eamon Clark. My guest this time is a recurring guest from the British Invaders science fiction podcast. It's Brian Du, back in the book club, Brian.
Hello, it's good to be back.
It's great to have you. Now, I looked back. So we did episode 32, where we did the Strontium Dog Big Finish audios. And then you came back on episode 66 and we talked about the Doctor Who and the Iron Legion Panini book with some great Doctor Who stories.
That's right. And that was getting into the sort of very beginning of Doctor Who magazine, or Doctor Who Weekly as it was then, the magazine with photos and interviews and things. And the centerpiece of it was always a comic book, which would have sort of serialized comics in there.
And of course, we chose that because it was created by some 2000 AD alumni in sort of Pat Mills, John Wagner and Dave Gibbons, of course. And it's entirely relevant to what we're going to talk about now, because we're going to get straight into it. What are we reviewing for this episode of the Book Club, Brian?
We are looking at the Big Finish comic book adaptations, adapting those very comics, or a couple of the comic serials from that volume, into audio drama form.
Absolutely fantastic. Since we did that that episode back in 66, and now they've got Big Finish versions of them, the comic strip adaptations, I think released March this year, 2019, I think, Brian?
Yes, that sounds right.
And as we've said, the originals were written by Pat Mills, drawn by Dave Gibbons. There may be a bit of John Wagner in there. As we were discussing before we recorded, they often flipped the writing credits between them. But we think the two episodes that these adaptations are of, mainly written by Pat Mills, I think.
Yes, these were credited to Pat Mills and John Wagner. Some of the others were credited to John Wagner and Pat Mills.
Yes.
And this, at the time, was out as a Marvel magazine with a comic in it.
Absolutely, yes, that's right. And then, of course, we looked, or at least I had, a Panini reprint of it.
Yes, that's right. They've been reprinted by IDW in the past, who would often colorize them. But these Panini ones that are out now are much more faithful to the original black and white presentation. And Panini bought Doctor Who magazine from Marvel, so it is now a Panini product and is releasing new magazines with new comics to this day.
So let's get to Big Finish, who produce full cast audio adventures for the various Doctors. And here they have the comic strip adaptations, Volume 1, which I'll ask you about later on when we get to the end. So tell us a little bit, which stories have they chosen and who have we got as the sort of the cast members and the people behind the scenes involved?
Well, they have gone with the Iron Legion and the Star Beast. And those are sort of the beginning of the run of Doctor Who comics in the magazine. And they are both very well-remembered comics from both comic book fans and Doctor Who fans from the time, and of course from reprints since then. And they are going to a format that's quite familiar to Doctor Who, with four 25-minute episodes, which was the type of thing that we could have had if these stories had been released back in 1979 and 1980 when the comics were released.
Absolutely. I mean, one of the things I love about the Big Finish audios is that you get a story often, as you have here, spread over four sort of episodes, and each one is topped and tailed with the appropriate title music for that particular Doctor's era. And you even get a little recap at the start of the next episode of the last episode's cliffhanger and so on. And I just love the marvellous way that Big Finish does that. It just feels like you're sitting down on a Saturday tea time to watch Tom Baker as Doctor Who again, doesn't it?
Yes, they do a wonderful job of balancing, bringing back something in much the style that it would have been in that era, and doing something new and modern. And different releases sort of lean more towards one or more towards the other. They always seem to blend it to a certain extent. And in this case, you're blending Doctor Who of the late 1970s, so this was the era when Douglas Adams was script editing Doctor Who. They're blending that with what the comic books were doing in Doctor Who Weekly, which was a little different. It was something different from what was being done on television. And you're blending that with sort of more modern sensibilities with how you would present things on television or on audio now. And that's something that they do quite well. They have a lot to blend into this, and I think they do it very well.
They do indeed. And we should perhaps mention behind the scenes, because these have been adapted for Big Finish by Alan Barnes, who, of course, listeners will know as a former editor of the Judge Dredd magazine. But he's done a lot of work, I think, for Doctor Who magazine, but also he's done a lot of work for Big Finish, hasn't he, Ryan?
He has done a great deal of work for Big Finish. He was a script editor on the main range for many years, and I believe continues to do some script editing work on some things. And he has written a lot of stories. He has planned out sort of longer story arcs and eras for Big Finish. He has created some well-known new characters that they used, companions like Charlie Pollard was one that he created, and others as well. And here he is adapting from comic book to script for audio drama. And he is a comic book person himself, and he is a big fan of those original comics, and I think that shows.
I think it does indeed, but he's also had to do quite a bit of work, I think, to adapt them for audio. I listened to some of the interviews where Alan Barnes himself mentions, I think, that the comic book scripts came out at about 5,000 words, and that for a Big Finish four-part audio, they're normally looking at about 20,000 words. So he has had to expand it from the originals. But it's all, it's all done brilliantly, I think, in terms of, the way he just expands on the story that we had in the comics, but never loses that sort of wonderful feel they had.
That's right. I think particularly for the Iron Legion being such a visual comic book, and giving us these, Roman legions as robots, and giving us all of this complicated stuff there, and not a lot of characters for the Doctor to be with or to interact with. There were certainly some, but they added a couple of extra characters who were only in one or two cells in the original. They turned this couple into a much larger part of the story, who are like almost like companions for the Doctor for this one story.
Yeah, it's great stuff. The way that they've sort of built on the story and turned it into this wonderful four-part. And, you talked us through a little bit about Big Finish and the way they produce these audios when we did the Strontium Dogs. But it is, it's full cast audio drama versions of the comic strips, which they record, I guess they record at studios quite near Tom Baker, don't they?
Yes, for these ones, when they have Tom Baker involved, Tom Baker is in his mid-80s at this point, and it makes it much easier for them to record out near him, and he sort of does most of his work earlier in the day so he can go home early and this sort of thing. They do these types of things, and they're able to get a lovely performance out of Tom Baker, really bringing back what he did in the 1970s. And in this case, he sort of takes on board the slightly sillier version, you know, slightly comic book-esque, in a certain sense, version of the Fourth Doctor that was in these strips. And he runs with that, and he does a lovely job in this, I think.
Yes, I think it's fantastic. I mean, it is, as you say, it is a slightly comic end of the Doctor Who spectrum in a way. And Tom Baker, of course, is wonderful with that. And his voice is just, as ever, superb, Brian. And, you know, I'm sure if we were to go back and compare his voice from the 70s with his voice now, we probably would be able to pick up the differences. But to me, when he's doing his performance, it just sounds as if, you know, it is the 1970s Doctor Who with Tom Baker. It's just marvelous.
Yeah, the voice is close enough, and his performance is really still there, and it's really lovely. Now, what we tend to get is the Iron Legion is a little bit along the lines of what was happening in the 1979 Doctor Who season, as I mentioned, that was series 17. It's as if they had continued for another season with Douglas Adams still a script editor and Graham Williams still as producer. We know that didn't happen, but if they had, and they had this sort of enormous budget, the Iron Legion is something that they might have done. And I think they capture that nicely on audio.
They do indeed. You know, it is perhaps a story that was too big for television and needed to be in a comic book. But here it is on audio, where Big Finish can do wonderful things. And it's a great story, The Iron Legion. I note, again, from the interviews that the director, Nick Briggs, and people will probably know that Nick Briggs is the voice of the Daleks on television now, but he's also executive producer at Big Finish, I think, and he directs and writes quite a lot of their output, I think, Brian.
That's right, yes.
And he said that when he sent the script to Tom Baker, and Tom Baker sent him back an email and said, well, this is different. So I think he noticed that there were some sort of slight changes from some of the stuff he's been sent by Big Finish, that these are comic strip adaptations.
Yes, absolutely. And when we get to the Star Beast, it's interesting because rather than being this sort of Series 17 style show, it feels almost more like what Russell T. Davies did in 2005 with bringing in a little more sort of family drama and a little more, street level types of things with characters living in small apartments and this sort of thing. It feels a bit like if that had been done back in 1980, what would that have been like? And that's sort of what Pat Mills was doing at the time. And we get a very nice take. They go with that in this audio adaptation, and we finally get an actor associated with the character of Sharon, who was quite a popular Doctor Who companion original to the comic books. Rianne Starbuck is playing her in this.
She is, yes, and she's fabulous. You know, Sharon, you know, this young black teenager from the fictional Doctor Who town of Blackcastle, I think it's called, somewhere up in the gritty, grim and north. And she's a great character. And as you say, she would go on to be a very popular companion in the comic book stories. And this is her first appearance. And as you say, we've got an actor now associated with the role who's fantastic as well.
Yes, absolutely. And I do hope we get to hear more of Rianne Starbuck as Sharon.
And of course, the Star Beast. So if we turn away from the robotic legions of the Iron Legion itself to the Star Beast, of course, we've got that famous story about an almost infamous character from Doctor Who comic books, which is Beep the Meep.
Yes, and Beep the Meep is a character who was almost revolutionary, sort of very new and different in British comics at the time, but actually sort of feels a little bit stereotyped now.
Yes, I think Pat Mills was trying to do something very different with this alien character who was cute and cuddly in appearance.
That's right. He wanted a villain who looked cute and cuddly and sort of took advantage of looking cute and cuddly. And they did that, and that worked well. The problem was what he did was had this character who looked cute and cuddly until it's revealed that he's a villain, and then pulls out a gun and looks all nasty. So it sort of weakens it, and it sort of becomes something that is now a bit of a cliche almost, that you have the cute and cuddly looking creature who becomes big and nasty when it's revealed that that this is a villain. So it's still sort of tied to that appearance type of thing.
Yes, but here we have him, the first appearance of Beep the Meep, who I gather, I'm not sure if this is right, Brian, does Beep the Meep turn up elsewhere on Big Finish at some point? I believe they've had Toby Longworth play the character at some point.
Yes, they did a Beep the Meep story. It was one of their free bonus stories that I believe was released with a Doctor Who magazine many years ago. They did, in fact, do a Beep the Meep story very briefly once.
And I've mentioned Toby Longworth, who, of course, is the voice of Big Finish's Judge Dredd series. And he does turn up in the Iron Legion doing a number of voices as well. He's a man of many voices for Big Finish.
Yes, absolutely. And he does a lovely job with that as well.
I think he was Wolf Sternhammer in the Simon Pegg Johnny Alphas, wasn't he?
Yes, he was.
Yeah, so yes, great stuff.
And there was one audio where he plays both Judge Dredd and Wolf Sternhammer.
Oh, that's right, yes. They do a sort of Judgment Day sequel, don't they? Yes.
They did a crossover. They also did one release where Toby Longworth plays not just Judge Dredd, he plays all of the characters.
Is that the Judge Dredd story solo on Big Finish?
It is. It showcased his many voices because he does that type of thing very well.
Excellent. So we've mentioned some of the behind-the-scenes people, Alan Barnes and Nick Briggs. We've mentioned some of the voices, as you say, Rhianne Starbuck, Toby Longworth. Can I just point out, I don't know if she was a big media presence in Canada, Brian, but Angela Rippon turns up as the newsreader in The Star Beast, no less than Angela Rippon herself. Certainly over here, a very famous name, and great to have her working for Big Finish as well.
Yes, that was lovely to work that in. In the original comic, they had a newsreader who isn't named, but from the drawing, it's clearly her. So it was very nice for them to pick up on that and use her.
And it wasn't the first time, I think, that they'd used Angela Rippon's appearance in the 2000 AD comics, at least. They'd done it there as well before doing it in Doctor Who Weekly.
That's not surprising you have connections there. This is Pat Mills and Dave Gibbons involved, after all.
Absolutely, yes. And of course, again, on the making of interviews, they have a brief interview with Angela Rippon, who describes receiving an email from Nick Briggs that said Doctor Who on Big Finish, and she just said yes immediately, which was fantastic.
That's wonderful, yes. I also like the fact that in the credits for these, and the credits on the that are associated in the metadata with the audios, they credit that it was originally drawn by Dave Gibbons. They could sort of put that idea aside because this is audio now, but they give him credit fairly prominently, which I thought was quite nice.
Well, that's an interesting point, actually, Brian, because Pat Mills has recently been discussing the somewhat controversial issue of creator rights and creator reimbursement for their characters and so on and stories. But I do know from a chap on Facebook called Chris McCauley, who works with Pat Mills, that Pat was very happy with the arrangement with Big Finish. And I presume that involves also Dave Gibbons as well, because, as you say, he is credited. And I guess, you know, from my more limited experience with Big Finish, I know they do have a reputation. They take creator rights, they take licenses, and, you know, making sure that all the correct people are paid correctly. They take that very seriously at Big Finish, don't they?
Yes, they certainly do take that seriously. And their chairman and executive producer is Jason Hague-Ellery, who is involved in other ventures as well, and he is a theater producer. And he certainly deals with things like that, and their team deals with those sorts of things quite extensively. And it's something they have to be careful about. Despite the quantity of things that they release and the quality of things they release, it's actually quite a small operation with very little permanent staff and so on. But yeah, they certainly deal with those things in a very clear way. It's also worth noting that Pat Mills has written original audios for Big Finish and Doctor Who as well.
Oh, that's right. He has, hasn't he? More stuff that we could perhaps get to at some point.
Yes, it could be. He wrote one or two original audios, and there was also a story or two of his intended for the television series that they adapted as part of the Lost Stories run. They did some Pat Mills for that as well.
So we will talk a little bit about the Pat Mills interview that's available on the Big Finish website when you make a purchase there in a moment. But before we do that, let's just jump back to the two productions, because, as I say, we've got the Iron Legion for 25-minute episodes or thereabouts, I think, Brian, and the same for the Star Beast. So, as I say, it does give you that feel of classic Saturday tea time Doctor Who with the music and the cliffhangers and so on. Let's start with the Iron Legion. Just give us a quick review of what your thoughts were and about this particular production and how it sort of fits in with Tom Baker and the Big Finish work.
Well, I think it fits in with the original comic book quite well. It does take that step of adding a couple of characters and having them as major characters. So that's sort of the big difference there, I think. And it goes to this idea that it was like, this was Doctor Who as a feature film. If they had done a big budget movie of Doctor Who in 1979, that comic was the type of thing that it might have been. And they pick up on that idea and use it for the audio. This is a big, you know, wall-to-wall, big screen, huge, lots of things going on type of production. And I think they embraced that.
Excellent stuff. And it is great. As you say, it is feels like a big budget Doctor Who. As you say, Big Finish themselves, a fairly small unit, but they managed to do wonderful things. I mean, the music, the sound design, the effects, and of course the performances are all just so good, aren't they?
Yes, they really are.
So what about the Star Beast? Again, I mean, another sort of iconic story from the comic books with the fabulous Beep the Meep character and the introduction of Sharon. What did you think about this particular production?
I thought this worked very well also. It has that sort of smaller feel to it, although it certainly has, you know, multiple alien invaders and this sort of thing. But where it shines for me when you're talking about the comics is the character of Sharon, and then also the character of Fudge, who, especially Sharon, is well-remembered, and she continued on as a companion. But the two of them were very good characters and quite vivid characters on the page. And they really needed to do something with those characters in audio. And I think they did very well with that. And I think they really brought those characters to life and made them work well and made them feel right for those characters. So I was really pleased with that.
Yeah, it's another delightful production, The Star Beast. Everything about it is great. And I, like yourself, I was particularly taken with the feisty companion character of Sharon, and also Fudge as well. But Sharon is just fabulous, and I just wanted to hear more adventures of her and Tom Baker in the TARDIS. And they do the thing that we talked about, which is, I think, is done in one of the other stories in the comic books, but they age her up at the end of the episode. Another sort of side effect of black sun radiation or something like that, I think, or exposure to the void, possibly.
Yes, that was something that in the comics happened a couple of stories later, that Sharon ages 4 years. So we go from having this young teenage Sharon to this more adult 20-something Sharon that sort of happens instantly. They, in the comics, never really address the fact that she hasn't lived those years, and, you know, how would she really be more mature because it physically changes her and so on. But there are in the comics two sort of very different versions of Sharon, and they incorporate that into the ending of the Star Beast, even though it was later in the comics. So that was a nice reference to have that moment there, to be able to have an audio version of that. And hopefully this is setting up for something later with Sharon, and I don't know exactly what that will be, but I'm hoping we get to hear more of her.
Ah, right, because that sort of leads me to my next question, which I have no idea about, but this is the comic strip adaptations volume 1, it's clearly labelled as. Do we know anything at all about a volume 2 and when that might be and what stories it might feature?
No, we don't. We don't even know that there will be a volume 2. There have been things that have been released by Big Finish as volume 1 that have not been followed up. That happens from time to time. And it's based on how well the stories sell. So we don't know if there will be a volume 2 or not. And we don't know which stories it would cover. It could cover comics from later in the run of of the Doctor Who magazine comics. There are certainly lots of opportunities with other doctors. They could also cover more of the Fourth Doctor and Sharon stories from just a little bit later in the run. So there are lots of options. There are lots of things they could do. I'm guessing that due to rights and the like, that it would most likely be later Doctor Who magazine comics. But yeah, we don't know if there will be a volume 2, what it would include, or when it would come out.
Okay, so as you say, it does depend partly on sales. So let's just talk about getting hold of these comic strip adaptations of these two stories. Now, I went the digital route, which over here was £29.99 digital, and then it immediately shows up on the Big Finish app on my phone, which is how I listen to them. Do you, for this one, did you go digital or CD?
I went digital for this, as I do with most things. The international shipping tends to be a little bit pricey, so I do tend to get my Big Finish audios as downloads. And the app does a very good job of giving you a good way of listening to these. So that's what I've been doing, and it works very well.
Oh, right. Okay, so same here. Yes, the Big Finish app, in terms of, you know, playing stuff on your phone, is fantastic. It just works perfectly, unlike certain audio-based apps for phones that I could mention, maybe BBC Sounds. But anyway, the Big Finish app is great. There is a CD, 5-CD box set, which is over here, is $34.99. On both digital and box set, of course, you get both stories and you get the one-hour sort of making of interviews feature, which I always enjoy as well. I think it's a delightful part of the Big Finish releases, listening to them talk to Alan Barnes and Tom Baker and Angela Rippon and so on, and Toby Longworth.
Yes, and if you buy the CDs from Big Finish, then you get the download available in your account as well. You get both of them. You get it there to enjoy immediately if you want to. If you buy from a different source, if you don't buy directly from Big Finish, then you don't get the digital copy in your account with Big Finish. And there's something else that you don't get, because there is an extra that goes with this that is available in your Big Finish download account if you've purchased this story. And that is an interview with Pat Mills. That's Nicholas Briggs interviewing Pat Mills.
Yes, and that's splendid. It's about 40, 45 minutes of the two of them talking. And, I mean, as we've said, Pat Mills is clearly delighted to have these stories adapted for audio adventures by Big Finish. And it's a great chat between the two of them, isn't it?
Yes, it really is. And it shows that Nick Briggs is a fan of these comics from that era. And they really have a lovely conversation about what was going on with the Doctor Who comics at that time and the different kinds of things that they were doing with it and so on. So it really is nice, and it's a nice little bit of incentive to buy from Big Finish for this.
Yes, so what we're saying is buy directly from Big Finish, and hats off to them for giving you, if you buy the hard copy, they give you the digital as well, which is incredibly sort of forward-looking of them. And as you say, it shows up in your app almost straight away, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. All of that works quite well. And I will say, if you're not in the UK, go to the Big Finish website and look at the prices for your country. It'll show the appropriate pricing. Rather than trying to explain that pricing structure, just go and take a look and you'll see what the pricing is for your country.
Okay, great stuff. And I guess it's bigfinish.com is the place to look for this, Brian.
Yes, it is.
So two more questions about these stories, the comic strip adaptations. Let's start with your favourite of the two episodes. Can you pick from them? Because they're both delightful.
Oh, that's so hard. I think I'm going to say The Star Beast. And a lot of that has to do with Sharon and Fudge. I think they were just delightful in the original comics, and they were in the audios as well.
Do you know, I'm going to agree with you as well, Brian. I mean, I really loved the Iron Legion and all the clanking Roman robots, and particularly the old Vesuvius robot, who's a great character, sort of an oil-burning robot. But the Star Beast with Beep the Meep, but particularly, I think, for the introduction of Sharon and Fudge, is just fantastic. And, you know, she's a feisty, tough, no-nonsense companion for Tom Baker's Doctor, and it's great stuff. And yeah, I'm hoping we're going to get more stories featuring Sharon on Big Finish.
Yes, absolutely. They could very easily use her in original stories, or they could use her in other adaptations. There's plenty of room for that.
Indeed, there is, yes. Now, of course, we normally play the Grail Page game, and we did indeed play that when we reviewed the comic strip adaptations last time on episode 66. So the idea you came up with when we did the Strontium Dog audios was, instead of a Grail Page, it's sort of like a Grail scene. Which particular moment or scene from these two stories would you like to have been in the Big Finish studios on the day to see the actors perform and record? Can you pick one out?
Oh, it would have to be from the big climax sequence in The Star Beast with Beep the Meep and Sharon and the Doctor are all involved, and all sorts of crazy things happening in this factory environment. Tremendously complex set of things going on, and lots of voices and lots of character in there. It really would have to be that, I think.
Fantastic. So we'll gift you that virtually through the Mega City Book Club, that we let you sort of access that scene. I'm just going to mention actually a scene from the Iron Legion, and I'm not going to give too many spoilers away, but there's a very sad scene involving the Fourth Doctor and a character called Morris, who you may remember is a rather sort of creaky cyborg character who's had many parts of him replaced, and there's a very tragic scene between those two, which I quite like, and I would have wanted to be there for that one, although I may have had I may have got some dust in my eyes during that sequence, Byron.
That is definitely a good sequence with lovely performances there.
So, the Doctor Who, the comic strip adaptations, Volume 1 from BigFinish.com is fantastic stuff. And when I heard that they were going to be putting these out after you and I had reviewed the original comic strips, I thought I just had to get you back on, Brian, to do a fairly sort of quick episode where we reviewed them, because I really needed to sort of find out what you thought about these Big Finish audio versions. And they've charmed us, I think.
Yes, absolutely. I'm a big fan of almost all of the work that Big Finish does, and they did a really nice job tying things into the comics here.
Great stuff by all concerned. Well done. And hats off to them for, you know, securing Pat Mills and getting him involved as well, because it's so good to see the original creators getting credited as well.
Oh, yes, of course.
So, Brian, let's turn away from Big Finish and talk a little bit about guest projects. And I guess the update for my listeners will be what's happening with our other podcast that we do, British Invaders, the podcast all about science fiction television. Now, this episode is going to come out somewhere in the middle of July. What will we be up to about then on our releases?
I think we're coming up towards doing A Traveler in Time by then, which is a nice story to be talking about. And we get to look at the very early performance by Sophie Thompson in there, too. So interesting stuff that's a little bit different from what we usually look at.
Okay, so that's coming up at BritishInvaders.com. Going behind the scenes slightly, I should say that we're recording this review on the same day that we've also been recording our episodes about Wurzel Gummidge, and we've had a great deal of fun talking about John Pertwee in that classic Scarecrow show, haven't we, Brian?
Oh, absolutely. Getting into all sorts of things about children's TV. You know, this is late 1970s, early 1980s, with all sorts of interesting actors involved, and really giving us some lovely, tightly written stuff with some good performances, really memorable children's TV that is very well remembered.
Fantastic. And just to perhaps give us a hint of what's to come later in 2019, we've been talking about Doctor Who here in Mega City Book Club. We might have a bit of Doctor Who coming up later on British Invaders, perhaps?
That's right. Not focusing on the comics, but focusing not too far away in getting into some animation.
Okay, hints of stuff to come on British Invaders. So where can people find out more about all the shows that we've covered so far, Brian?
Well, we are at BritishInvaders.com, and we have well over 300 episodes recorded and all available there. We've covered well over 100 British television shows from science fiction and related genres.
300 episodes. Oh my goodness. How on earth did we manage that? I wasn't on all of them, but yeah.
You were on most of them.
On most of them, yeah.
You were on over 300 of them.
Oh, blimey. 300 episodes. Wow. Where do we find the time, Brian? I don't know. Anyway, it's been great having you back on Mega City Book Club. Did you want to say anything about Hooked on Bond coming up?
Absolutely. Hooked on Bond is a podcast that I'm also doing. Three of us who are longtime James Bond fans, we've all been watching the movies for well over 30 years now, and we have been reviewing the movies one by one in sort of blocks. We're doing them in seasons. And season three probably isn't quite running yet, but we should be doing that sometime this year, sometime in 2019. And that will be getting into some Timothy Dalton and Pierce Brosnan movies. And the earlier ones, the Sean Connery and Roger Moore and the one George Lazenby film, we've covered all of those on Hooked on Bond, and those are available at hookedonbond.com.
Fantastic. I can't wait to get into the Timothy Dalton films. Great. I'm looking forward to hearing what you have to say about those. Perhaps not as well remembered as they should be, maybe. We shall
see.
Well,
there's interesting stuff to say about them, for sure.
Okay, so check out Brian's work on BritishInvaders.com or HookedOnBond.com. And that will do us. And Brian Doob will return for the Creeler Conspiracy at some point.
That will be a fun one to talk about, for sure. Getting into a bit of Strontium Dog.
Back to Strontium Dog and 2000 AD, yes. I look forward to that. So thank you to everybody for listening to Megacity Book Club. Find out more at megacitybookclub.com. Follow the podcast on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, the 2000 AD forums, and you can also find the podcast now on Spotify. And get in touch with me by emailing mcbcpodcast@gmail.com. And that will do us, Brian. So until next time on Megacity Book Club, when we're passing judgment on another fine 2000 AD book, it's time for goodbyes. So it's a goodbye from me and...
And a goodbye from me.